All right, tonight we're going to have a pop quiz. That's where we pop it upon you. I have given 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe about 8 weeks of material that I did not quiz you on. A pop quiz is when you're not expecting it. The other kind of test is to say, well, there's going to be a test. I thought about that. Should I tell them there's going to be a test? And I thought, no, the reason I won't is because what I'm going to bring up are the kind of things that would pop on you anyway. They're the kind of things that you meet someone and they have something to say and you need to be ready to answer. And that was the study that I did for all those weeks, being ready to answer, having an answer to give to people who are off base or unsaved. So I'm going to come up with statements tonight and you can have the answers. Now, the men and young men are welcome to participate by the uplifted hand. The Bible says the women are to keep silent in the church, so we obey that. Being this is the church, therefore it'll be the men and young men. And we hope that you can do something on this. I did grade them in Plymouth last night. I'm not going to tell you what the grade was yet. But I will tell you later. I told them I was going to see how you would do on this. I also grade myself. I do. I grade myself on these things to see whether I'm an effective teacher. If you want to discourage me and have me leave the ministry, you have no answers at all. Say, well, you know, I didn't do the job, I better quit. You know? So then I'll be faced with whether I can put blame on somebody else or accept the responsibility myself. Here we go. I'm going to make statements. And you, when I make the statement, you picture that you are face-to-face with someone who is perhaps disheveled and not quite as intelligent looking as I am. Maybe they're not wearing glasses. That's the mark of intelligent looking, right? And so, you know, you see this disheveled looking person, and they have made this statement. So picture, how are you going to answer them? You're not answering me tonight. You're answering this imaginary them. But what I have to say, all of the things I have to say, though we have an imaginary them, the things which I have to say are not imaginary. They are things that I have heard, most of them, many, many, many times, and I had to answer. And because you get the same things also. So here we go. What do you say? And there are two things here. We can say some things, and hopefully the things we're going to say are going to lead to scriptures that are the conclusive, always the conclusive proof. Number one, I just came from the Promise Keepers, and it was the greatest experience ever. What would you say? Now, this may be a quiz, but you can look in your Bible. Because I said all along, you could take these notes and put them in the back of your Bible so that if you ran into somebody and you had your Bible, you open your Bible and see what the answer was. Jim.
What's the biblical pattern?
Okay. He said, what is the biblical pattern for the Promise Keepers? Anybody want to add anything to this? And we would have to say a little bit more to them than that. Mike?
Preach another gospel and be a curse.
Who? I was there, and they preached the gospel, and a lot of people responded.
say, are you basing your conclusions on your feelings or what the Word of God says?
Oh, no, they're preaching right from the Bible. They're preaching right from the Bible. People want to get saved. Okay, so who's accountable? Meaning, all that money that came in, that they've even admitted to, $87 million or something like that in a year, where does it go? Who handles it? What do they do with it? Who gets the money? That's a good point. Doesn't answer my other objection.
Among them, that be separate, says the Word of God, and the people who attend the Promise Keepers are all of a different mixture.
Okay. Well, they are, but you know, it's wonderful what the Holy Spirit did to bring all the different denominations together. All praising Christ. Okay. All right, and Mike already gave that one, I think. If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Jim?
Who defines God's love?
That's the next statement. Well, yeah, okay. All right. Mike? Right, okay. That's good. And you know, there are a number of things here that I could bring to your attention. You know, what is it patterned after in the Bible? Where do you see that in the Bible? And of course, you know, you can say to a person who is a promise keeper, you know, does it say anywhere in the Bible you're supposed to keep your promises? Well, it's assumed. Does it say anywhere in the Bible you're supposed to keep your promises? You know, people think, well, must. Well, what is the emphasis of the Bible? Is the emphasis in the Bible that you keep your promises? The emphasis of the Bible is that we need to get saved because we're wicked, number one. Number two, we need to obey God. Not so we're supposed to keep our promises. Something else. I mean, how about, you know, fellas, I'm strong enough keep my promises. I don't need three guys to help me. All right? But the first big objection we have is that they're cooperating, working with, they're all working with religions that are not teaching, do not hold to the Word of God in truth. And so we cannot go with them because if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Here's a statement I gave to you that I think is a nice way to introduce things. Somebody said, I just came to the Promise Keepers and it was the greatest experience. A nice thing to come back with would be something like this. You know, I'm sorry I can't share your enthusiasm. Why do you do that? You see, because you just didn't jump down their throat. You know, Promise Keepers are a bunch of bums. You don't jump down their throat, then they should answer when you say, well, I'm sorry, I can't share your enthusiasm. They should say, well, why not? That's what I wanted to hear you say. Why not? Okay, I'll give you a whole bunch of reasons now. I gave four message reasons. And an interesting thing, this is, you know, when Manny said about being accountable, an interesting thing is, one of the answers last night came from Bob Holmes. I said, you know, what do you do when I say this? I just came from Promise Keepers, and it was a great experience. Bob Holmes said, I handed him your four tapes. And I'm listening to the four tapes. One of the things that the guy said was, they're not going to charge anymore. I said, do you remember I said, when I got all these objections, somewhere along the line you'll find out that they will be saying, they'll be covering those objections by saying they don't do that anymore. Right? Well, we'll see. They will take a collection, I'm sure. I'm sure they'll take a collection, at least. All right, so much for the Promise Keepers. What do you think your grade is on that? All right, number two. Where to have love. All right, Jim already gave an answer for this. Where to have love. One of the things that people say to us, you see, if we were to just list a whole bunch of things that are wrong with the Promise Keepers, when a person can't dispute you for having the facts and having the scripture, then they usually come up with something. So they cannot dispute that you have the truth of the Word of God and that you know the facts. And so they still don't want to believe you because they don't want to let the facts stand in their way and they don't want to let the Bible rule their life. So they might say, well, we're to have love, which sounds like the person that just explained all what was wrong doesn't have love. We're to have love. Do we have some answers for that? Do we have some scriptures for that? Yes, Mike. Okay. You hit it on a nail. I'll give you an A. All right, next. Along the same lines, when the person has had an answer and they don't want to accept the answer, they don't want to accept the scripture, they might also say, we're not to judge. We're not to judge. We got all these people, you know, you say they're doing things, but, you know, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. We're not to judge. How are you going to answer that? Joe. Judge righteous judgment. You know what's found, Joe? No. Ron, did you have one? Okay, we're judge righteous judgment. Who knows where that is? Well, Joe, you didn't have the right reference, but if you would have turned to 1 Corinthians 2:15, you would have had a dynamite verse to blow them out of the water. Though we're not trying to blow people out of the water. Just a little colorful language here to wake up the dead. All right? Manny. He had it, but he lost it. You know, Manny, us old people have trouble with that a lot. All right. We're not to judge. Jim.
Does it pay to explain the context of that verse?
Probably not. I'd rather use 1 Corinthians 2:15, which says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And don't you think someone would be big time shocked if you just said to him, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. God said that. That would be a shock to their system. Jesus also said, judge righteous judgment. But we don't know where it is. And I'm going to tell you something too. I'll tell you something about talking with people who don't believe you and hold to the same things and are very much against you. When you give these things to them, it's not even good enough just to quote it. I mean, it's better to quote it because the Spirit of God is using it. But it's best to show it to them right in the Bible. That's the most effective thing. Say, look at here. Here's what it says. If you read it out of the Bible, it's effective. You know, if you opened the wrong page and you quoted it, that's effective. If you don't have your Bible with you, they're still looking like you're under opinion. You know what I mean? He might be quoting that wrong. You know, he might have made up that verse, say. But when you get it right out of the Bible, then they realize it came from God. And if they're saved, it will give them some pause. All right, here goes the next one. How are you going to find that? You know, judge righteous judgment. How are you going to find that? I've been up here keeping the thing going, and while I give everybody an opportunity to find that verse, Mike.
John 7:24.
I'm not sure. Sounds about right. What did you have, Ed?
Matthew 7:1.
That's judge not that you be not judged. Judge righteous judgment. I thought it was John 6:24. Maybe it is John 7:24. It's 7:24. All right, Mike, you get an A, I get an F. All right. So now we have that one. Okay. I know where it is on the page. It's not right to name names. It's not right to name names. You know, I was to your church service, and your pastor, he's kind of fiery like a Pentecostal, you know, but it's not right to name names. He looks like he's filled with the Holy Ghost because he yells a lot, but it's not right to name names. Okay, Pastor Brandenburg is ready to enter into this.
2 Timothy 4:14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord rewarded him according to his word. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me. They used me. Yeah.
Okay. Mike had something?
He turned to any chapter of 2 Timothy.
Yeah, okay. I do prefer to go with the contemporary names that were contemporary to Paul. One of the chapters, the names in there were the names that resisted Moses. They're still names, so it's still good. But the others, you could say, hey, these people were alive when he was speaking, and when he wrote these things down. Mike, did you have something, or did they already cover it? Okay. All right. Not to mention that the Bible is filled with names and what their deeds were and so forth. It's not right to name names. Oops, good job. I am too wicked to ever be saved. I was speaking to somebody about their soul. I say, I am too wicked to ever be saved. What can you do to help them understand Almighty God? Mike?
I think we could look at the Apostle Paul and his life.
Okay. Right? I'm going to, just give you a little hint here, because I gave some verses that I called, doctrinal. It's a doctrinal statement, absolute truth. And then there are some illustrations in the lives of people that illustrate that truth. Does anybody remember the doctrinal truth? Harold? Okay, go ahead.
And your question was that you were too wicked to be saved.
Too wicked to be saved.
You know, that's exactly the way I felt. I didn't think that the God of heaven, the people that told me about, was merciful enough because of the things that I had done to save me. But the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And many other places, it to tell how we could be taken out of the miry clay, and feet could be placed on solid rock, and not only that, but be established our home. And so we had to come to that place.
All right, that's a good answer. It's an excellent answer. It's personal testimony. It's an answer I can't give. It's an answer I can't give because I didn't have that problem. I didn't think I was too wicked to be saved. Okay? So Harold can give that answer. Some of you could give that answer, a personal testimony. Others could not give that answer, and others might give my next objection when we get to it. But it is that does seize a person's interest when they hear from somebody else that they thought that and they found the Lord. And personal testimony is a legitimate thing. We have the personal testimony of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. How many times? How many times is the testimony of Paul given in the book of Acts?
Three times.
That's what I would say. Three times. The first time, of course, it's written up as an account, a historical account, but then the apostle himself gives his testimony before others.
I got that answer.
You know, I was going to say last night when I said that, you know, the women have to be silent in the church, that if that wasn't the case, Susan would give all the answers. And also, there were times, you know how that for 2 years practically I was, you know, we had this question and answer format, and many times young men would sit next to Susan, that they knew a lot of answers. Derek and Seth, you know, I sat next to Susan. They knew a lot of answers in the question and answer time. She usually attends Plymouth. All right, Mike, did you have something else to say?
We're sin unbounded, grace much more abounding.
All right, that was a primary doctrinal verse that I gave. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If you believe God instead of yourself, all you need to do is believe that verse. Where sin abounded, God said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So it doesn't matter how much sin there was, there's more grace than there is sin. That's great. And it's illustrated in some lives. Whose lives was it illustrated in? Can you think of it in the Word of God? Somebody said the Apostle Paul already, I think. Is that yours? Mike?
Thief on the cross.
Thief on the cross was one of them that I gave, in which he was promised paradise. He was a pretty bad character. All right, I'm too wicked to be saved. I have one more. I have my own religion. When would you say, I have my own religion? A little transition on this too. A little transition statement. I don't know if you remember it, that you would make. And the reason I gave a transition statement is because I stated, this is my belief, and when a person says, I have my own religion, what they really mean is, I don't want to talk about my soul. We've had enough about this. Let's talk about something else. Or let's not see each other anymore. Or whatever. I have my own religion. So I have a little transition statement so that we can take a little bit more opportunity, hopefully, to give them a little bit more gospel. All right, Mike, what do you have to say?
Are you going to hear what Jesus said?
About somebody who had their own religion. Excellent. That's two A's tonight. You are definitely get the two gold stars for these two nights, including Plymouth. Of course, I have to say this. In Plymouth, I have to defend them in Plymouth. They were working on the Sunday school program thing. So the other young, sharp minds were not there to have that opportunity that Mike had tonight. So it's possible that there were some sharp minds in Plymouth who could have said this, but we're not there. All right, so he gave us a little transitional statement I have my own religion. Are you willing to hear what Jesus said to somebody who had their own religion? All right, now that we've said that, what scripture would we use? Joe. John chapter 3, which is about what? About Nicodemus. He had his own religion. He was a religious ruler. He was in the right religion. He was in the right religion, and Jesus still said to him, you must be born again. So even if you were in the right religion, having your own religion is not sufficient to see the kingdom of God. Well, I would have to say, it's hard for me to say because I always, you know, I always feel totally fair toward both churches. But I think you beat them. And you had Mike. Okay, I gave them a C, but I think you have better than that. Mike had two A's, so that brought the average up right away. Very good. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we review these things, that we might be a better useful servants and a blessing to the God of heaven. Bless us now, Lord, as we continue in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'd get your prayer request ready, if they're not on the prayer list, you might want to make out a list.